Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the winningest edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Don't forget to also give the podcast a follow. It's at Locked On Pels. Should be pretty easy to remember if you're not following these two to start with. Like I said, winningest edition of Locked On Pelicans. Pelicans got their first win of the season tonight against the Milwaukee Bucks. A 112-106 win on the road in Milwaukee. Nice victory for the Pelicans. We're going to break that down, talk about what really went well and why this was a win versus other games being a loss. So it was nice to kind of get off that slide. No more, you know, goose egg zero in that W column. At least there's a one. It's unfortunately in single digits. It's probably going to remain in single digits for the foreseeable future going forward. But hey, it's nice to get that first win. Anthony Davis seemed to show, you know, a whole lot of relief saying, hell yeah, he was happy to get the win. I think Alvin Gentry said something to that extent as well. They've got their monkey off their back. They really wanted and needed this. Might have celebrated a little too much for being 1-8, but hey, I guess you got to pick your battles and, you know, be happy when you win one. So it was good for the Pelicans to see a lot of guys played well. Like I said, we'll break that down a little bit in a minute. Second half of the podcast, I'm going to play you guys some more. I know I did it yesterday, a couple of clips from the Dunked On Basketball podcast, but they did one on whether it's time to panic or not. And of course, the Pelicans are going to come up being 0-8 at the time. But they say some good things about the future for the Pelicans that I want you guys to hear. It's not all doom and gloom. You just maybe need to temper your expectations a little bit, adjust them. Don't think playoffs. Look for just kind of improvement overall, but we'll play that for you and give it a listen so that we can talk about it. And before we get to everything else, I want to definitely mention, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Audioboom, like us, rate us, whatever it is, share it with your friends, anything you can do. Locked On Pelicans is going to be available everywhere, and no one else is coming to you 5 days a week like this. You know, when you're driving to work, you can't read an article that's posted on, you know, bourbonstreetshots.com, on any of the newspaper websites. You got to be able to listen to something, and right now this is the only thing that's 5 days a week. In the know, the bourbonstreetshots.com podcast with Ryan Schwan and Michael McNamara is excellent as well. I've been a guest on there multiple times as too, since they're with the site I write for. A lot of fun. Definitely give that a listen. But again, not 5 days a week like I'm coming to you guys. And this has definitely been a whole lot of fun to do so far. So please don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, subscribe on Audioboom. Make sure you subscribe whatever app you want to use. Like I said, I personally recommend Stitcher, and they're not paying or anything like that for me to say it. That's actually what's on my phone and what I use. So make sure you're getting us 5 days a week. The episodes come out at 6 a.m. every day. That's really when I try and go for it, unless Cox has some internet troubles at my house, in which case, who knows, it might be days. So before we start talking about the game, I do need to mention Cheick Diallo being sent down to the D-League. Bit of news of the day for you guys. He's the Pelicans' second-round pick, big center, very unfinished prospect. He'd only played 6 minutes in the regular season thus far. The Pelicans had pretty much said they do want him to go to the D-League. Basically, he just needs some playing time. The Pelicans don't practice a whole lot during the season. Their practice time is limited with travel and being on the road. It's mostly just walkthroughs and shoot-arounds at this point, and team meetings to kind of talk about what they're doing, but they're not actually on the court practicing. And if Diallo's not going to be playing in games a whole lot, he's not really going to be practicing with the team because the team's just not practicing, it makes more sense to send him to the D-League. Just get him some seasoning, let him play and make some rookie mistakes. You would have liked to have seen this, maybe seen them do this. You know, they did it, I think, with a little bit with Austin Rivers. Would have liked when they had Al-Farouq Aminu to send him down to the D-League for some time, maybe see if he could have developed a little bit faster with the Pelicans before, you know, he left to go to the Mavericks. And then, you know, he's doing pretty okay over in Portland after they gave him a big contract 2 years ago. So Diallo going to the D-League, he's going to be with the Austin Spurs, which is the San Antonio Spurs affiliate. But of course, Diallo's right to stay with the Pelicans. He's who the contract's with. You know, they drafted him. So the Pelicans are also sending a trainer, coach, someone, they haven't said who it was just yet, to be working with Diallo on a daily basis. That's the person who's going to be warming him up during games, who's going to be doing a lot of the coaching for him, with him. So the Pelicans, you know, just because he's not with the team, they've still got a heavy hand kind of involved with his development. They, you know, want him to pan out. They need another big on this team and in the rotation, and maybe getting him some D-League time, you know, might get him, you know, to be one of the 10th, you know, man at the end of the season. So I think it's a good move overall. He's definitely not ready to be in the NBA just yet. Yeah, he looked good in summer league and a little bit in preseason, but I mean, he's so far from a finished product. This is the best move right now for him and his development, and hopefully it'll pay dividends for the Pelicans, you know, maybe not this season, but years down the line instead. So Pelicans' first win of the season. Woo! That is a fun one. Nice to say. 112-106 win against the Milwaukee Bucks in Milwaukee. So getting their first win on the road. It was a game the Pelicans led by as many as 15 in. They had a very good shooting night for them. You knew they were last in three-point percentage throughout the regular season so far through eight games. Well, they shot much better tonight, shooting 36% from deep, 43.8% overall. So again, nice to get this win, get this monkey off their back, take some of the pressure off. They had a couple of changes in the starting lineup tonight. Against Greg Monroe and a big bruising center, you know, they'd like to start Omer Asik. Since Monroe comes off the bench for the Bucks, he wasn't going to be starting. So it seemed to be they needed to make a change in some capacity. That change tonight, it was going to be actually Solomon Hill was dropped from the starting lineup. So your starting lineup was Tim Frazier, Etwan Moore. You had Dante Cunningham at the three, Terrence Jones and Anthony Davis as the two front court players, power forward center, however you want to put them. I think Jones was officially listed as the center, Davis as the power forward, which goes to show you what they think of Davis, even though they want him to be that small ball five. Mainly still just a power forward for the Pelicans. This game also followed the formula of many of the Pelicans games this season that end in losses, but they got some help. So Anthony Davis did his usual thing, 32 points, 8 rebounds, 4 blocks, just absolutely great overall. There's not much more you can say about Anthony Davis that hasn't been said, you know, all over the internet, all over podcasts, all over media so far with his start to the year. The biggest thing that jumps out to me, and I'm working on an article, I've just got to take some time to make GIFs out of everything, is his patience. The guy gets double-teamed, triple-teamed all the time right now, and he, in years past, would have thrown up a shot because there was no help around him. And there's still no help around him, but he has more patience where he takes a dribble or two, he backs up rather than attacking, and he's letting, it's kind of, you know, it's a cliche to say, but he's letting the game come to him. He's not trying to force things too much, and it's opening up stuff to him. Teams can't triple-team him for 20 seconds at a time because you are going to leave people open. The defenders start to worry about that, and they sag off once Davis gets a little bit further away from the rim. Once he backs up with the ball in his hand, his face-up game is so strong. He can take his man off the dribble and then drive. That's what he does. They hit him with a double team. He backs away. The second defender floats back to where he was originally. Now Davis has a one-on-one matchup. He, again, that face-up game strong. He can put the ball on the ground and dribble like a guard. You all know the story. He was a guard in high school till he started just sprouting and had that huge growth spurt, and now he's the guy who he is. But he was a guard. He's got some ball handling skills. He's got just well-rounded for a big man. So he doesn't mind putting the ball on the ground, driving to the rim, and he did that a lot tonight, and he's done it a lot this season, and I think that's one of the main reasons he's been playing so well, is that patience. Etwan Moore did his usual Etwan Moore thing. He was 20 points, 2 of 5 from deep. Tim Frazier did his normal Tim Frazier thing, 15 points, 10 assists. And heck, even Terrence Jones chipped in 10 points, though in 33 minutes, which is not ideal. He's the guy I've wanted to like him. I really have. I was down on his signing to start the year. And then preseason, he looked really good. I even drafted him on my fantasy basketball team, which shows, you know, the type of faith I was believing he could put forth in the effort and in the scoring. And then he's really just not looked that good in a Pelicans uniform during the regular season. His minutes go up and down as they still figure out this rotation. So, yeah, it's a little bit tough for for him to get in a rhythm, but his shot selection just leaves a lot to be desired. He's not a tremendous rebounder. There was one point he grabbed an offensive board with about 24 seconds left in the entire game. He grabbed the offensive rebound. Good job on him for getting that. He fought hard for it. And then he puts up an awful shot rather than resetting it. They would have had to either foul or let the clock run out. You don't need to put up a quick shot on the putback just right there. It's things like that. There was another one where he he grabbed the offensive rebound. It was kind of a tip out by Anthony Davis. He was standing on the 3-point line and then just didn't move with the ball. Like, he didn't know what he was supposed to do. And Gentry had to burn a timeout. So it was a wasted timeout for the Pelicans just because his basketball IQ really isn't there. And I guess, you know, he's a cheap signing of vet minimum, pretty much like the $1 million a year contract he's on right now, because he was kind of on the garbage heap of the NBA. And he shows that he was a good player, and he was a good player at times for Houston, but he also shows why he was kind of discarded. And you saw that, you know, kind of more often than not for the Pelicans so far this year. But he's Pelicans don't have a ton in the front court, so he's going to keep getting minutes, and they're going to need him to put it together. And for his career, I hope he does it as well. He's a guy I'm rooting really hard for, but man, at times he makes it really hard to do so. Buddy Hield played pretty well tonight. He was 3 of 6 from deep, 9 points total. Just the fact that he's getting his 3-point shot going is a whole lot better. Looked much better. He's still got a ton of confidence, which is nice. You could see a rookie, you know, who came in 6 overall pick in the draft, shooting what I think it was 20% from deep to start his year. That's a lot of pressure on a guy, and you could easily lose his confidence and not play particularly well because of that. But you know what? He's never lost that confidence. He keeps coming out and playing hard. He keeps coming out willing to shoot, and you've got to admire the guy for that. And as I talked about this week on the podcast, the Pelicans are giving him, you know, chances to make mistakes and learn and develop, and it just goes to show the confidence they have in him. They see him as an integral part of the future, and so they're going to be willing to let him go out and play. Omer Asik, another guy who actually had a pretty big game. He was only 3 of 4 for 8 points, but he absolutely dominated Greg Monroe. Their minutes were virtually even. It was 18 or 19 minutes for each. Basically, anytime Monroe came in, Omer Asik came in, and Asik neutralized him. When Asik was on the court, Monroe wasn't really scoring a ton, and it was other guys. Asik didn't do much other than the quick, easy dunks. He got to the line 4 times, which was nice. With, you know, split it, made 2 of 4. That was pretty good. Just get to the line. That's something the Pelicans need, because no one outside of Anthony Davis can do it at all. But Asik came in, played solid defense on the big, bulky center that Anthony Davis just isn't really able to defend. I know a lot of people really, really want Asik to be having a good year and get more minutes. He's situational at best right now, and that's fine. He's fine being a situational big off of the bench. Start him against, you know, a guy like Dwight Howard and teams like that. Use him off the bench when the opponent has a guy like Greg Monroe. Don't use him a ton against a team like the Warriors. He presents a problem. So tonight, towards the end of the game, it looked like the Pelicans might need to sub him in. They're up by 5 points, and all of a sudden, the Bucks are grabbing offensive rebound after offensive rebound with that front court of Davis and Jones, who struggle, you know, to grab offensive boards. Solomon Hill was in that group as well, that he was the closing 5-3. The problem there is, you know, outside of Anthony Davis, there's no real great rebounder. And the Bucks are grabbing offensive board after offensive board, getting chances. They weren't scoring, luckily, but they keep grabbing these offensive boards. Like, maybe the Pelicans need to sub Asik in just to kind of put an end to these drives. The problem with that thinking, and it seems like a good idea, is, you know, there were times when he got switched on to a quicker offensive player. Jabari Parker schooled him a couple of times when it was just Asik playing one-on-one defense against Parker. He got wrecked. The Bucks were really trying hard to switch Omer Asik onto anyone. They were going to run pick and rolls at him as long as Greg Monroe wasn't in there. And if he was, they were trying to run pick and rolls with a guy like Parker, who has at least passable, you know, ball handling skills. So that's the problem right there. Yeah, you can put him in and grab defensive rebounds if the team misses, but if they're mismatching him and exploiting that, they're not going to miss much, and they're still scoring. That's the other issue. You also need to play offense, and all of a sudden, in a crunch time game of 5 points or less, the team gets a score because Asik isn't able to defend against quicker guys. You still need to go down the court and score, and you have to score in that point. You really can't have empty trips. Oshik's not going to help you right there, at least not in crunch time. I don't mind him getting a couple of possessions here or there during the game, but in crunch time, you don't really want him getting, you know, big possessions. So that's kind of an issue and a scary thing. But overall, he had a good night, and you can't really complain. They do need to get better defensive rebounding. That kind of, I don't know if you call it a small lineup, but that lineup of, say, Solomon Hill, Terrence Jones, or Cunningham, Jones, Davis, whatever it is, that they don't rebound too well, and that's going to be an issue closing out games. They've had trouble with that this year. But other than that, the Pelicans played pretty well tonight. They limited the second chance points other than that kind of stretch at the end of the game, and it doesn't matter because they ended up getting the win. But like I said, they played smarter, not harder. You're a defense that's growing and still struggling at times. Don't give up second chance points. It's just going to make you work even more. Get the one stop and get out of there and get back on offense. Eventually, they'll start to get that together, hopefully. The Pelicans didn't turn the ball over a ton. That was really big. They struggle with transition defense. So by not turning over the ball, you don't have to worry about transition defense as much, because that's really how it's going to start. So overall, just solid game for the Pelicans. They gave Davis enough help to, you know, it's not squeaking out a win at 112-106, but it's not exactly like a blowout either. So they got, you know, basically enough help to get this win, and I wouldn't say a whole lot more. But Pelicans fans, be happy you're not winless anymore. Absolutely a wonderful thing. I think it takes a lot of pressure off the team. They'll be home tomorrow night against the Los Angeles Lakers, where I will not be at. I'm a groomsman in a wedding, so I'm going to be missing my hometown Lakers coming to New Orleans, but I do root for the Pelicans more so than the Lakers nowadays. That's going to be a tough game. I'm watching the game right now. LA's down 50-57 against Sacramento, 50-58. They have two decent bigs in Larry Nance and Julius Randle that both do different things. So they kind of present, you know, a versatility issue for the Pelicans. And they've got a lot of young energy. They're responding really well to Luke Walton. It's going to still be a tough matchup for the Pelicans, but it should be a fun one. And we'll definitely be back on Monday to recap that for you guys as well. Okay, before we end the podcast and I get out of your hair for the weekend and let you guys have a lot of fun and not listen to my horrible, horrible voice here, I want to play a clip from the Dunked On Basketball podcast with Nate Duncan and Daniel LaRue. They were talking about teams that should be panicking, should they not be panicking, and kind of rating them on a scale of 1 to 10. So I'm going to play you guys this clip, and then we'll talk about it right after that.
The now 0-8 New Orleans Pelicans after a loss at Sacramento on Tuesday night.
If their goal is to make the playoffs, they should really be panicking, just because they're putting up a number that's going to be hard. And I would say the current estimate would be that the 8th seed in the West is going to be a higher win total than the 8th seed in the East. There are reasons to be kind of, let's call it, optimistic, just because they are missing Jrue Holiday's the most prominent one, but they're also missing Tyreek, who, you know, even if they got 20 minutes a game from him, would be a big help, because their surrounding talent has just been so just inferior this year.
Yeah, their next games are at Bucks and then at home against the Lakers and the Celtics. They have to turn it around quickly. The one encouraging thing, I would only put it at a 9, just because they're at least defending. This has been a team that's been at least in the top half of the league in defense for the first time in eons. But outside of that, it's really concerning. Their three-point shooting has been horrendous. We'll get to one of their players on the panic list in a moment. They at least are not taking that many bad shots from mid-range. It's just that their threes are not going in. And actually, we have two players on the panic list for them. And the reason they're there, Hill and Buddy Hield, is that none of them can hit threes, and they've really been way off. So I don't see any way that they can get back into playoff contention. I don't see any way even that they can beat their over-under at 37 after going 0-8 to start the year.
Well, yeah, I mean, so they have 8 games already played, which means that to play 500, they would need to go, I think it's 37-37. And, you know, so if you're going to go 8 games over 500 at that point, you know, that you're getting into some serious territory. And we haven't seen, you know, the only time they ever played that well was when they, that run when they ended up getting the 8th seed and then, you know, making it to the first round. And you can't expect that, especially considering Anthony Davis has been healthy so far, and that has not really been historically true. So I'd have them at a 7, just on the idea that they can get better, and also also that, but if your goal is saying this team is going to make the playoffs, then it's a 9.
Yeah, maybe if we knew that Drew Holiday was going to come back tomorrow, I might give them some kind of a shot. If you just hope that he could be that transformative for their offense, and they can't keep shooting this poorly on threes. Right now, they're shooting 28% on threes, and they should be able to shoot better than that. They have at least some guys who have hit better than that in their careers, or Hield is not going to keep being this bad, you would hope. But I mean, the other thing that's a concern is it's not like their schedule has been so bad, right? They lost at home to the Nuggets in a close game. They lost at home to the Bucks in a close game. They lost at home in overtime to the Suns in a close game. They lost in overtime on the road against the Grizzlies. They lost on the road against the Kings. So they really have only had 3 games so far, 2 against the Warriors, 1 against the Spurs, where you're feeling like, oh, this is like an unwinnable game. They wouldn't have won anyway. They are losing games that they had a chance at winning, and I think that's really the more frustrating part, because the schedule will probably get harder.
Notice that when this team was in 0-8, they weren't all doom and gloom, which is actually kind of nice to see. I think they kind of realized maybe, you know, everyone needs to shift their expectations. Playoffs, maybe, you know, a lot of people had that. I think pundits kind of did. A few people thought they'd at least be fighting for the 8th seed. You know, maybe finishing 9th in the West, somewhere along those lines. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen, especially with the 1-8 start. One win, woo. Not, you know, now they can go win the rest of their games and set a new NBA record by barely doing it. But hey, that would be cool. But no, so I think if you don't adjust your expectation, or if you do, sorry, if you do adjust your expectations and don't think playoffs, this isn't as bad because you're seeing improvement on the defensive end. And then in a game like tonight, they showed you that they can put it together on offense. Is this offense necessarily going to beat a team like the Warriors or the Thunder or the Spurs? Probably not. But they weren't going to do that anyway. Now they're at least in position to start winning games, potentially, and building for the future. I've always said this is a transition year. This isn't the year they make their run with Anthony Davis. You know, it's almost, you got to think of it as a long con here. You've got him for 3 more years. They're not going to trade him at all. He can demand a trade, but there's no reason for the Pelicans to honor it whatsoever. So all that talk of should Davis be here or not, get him out of New Orleans, that's fine, and that's kind of true. He probably deserves better than this. But the Pelicans at least have a little bit more time, though the clock is ticking. But you've got to show some improvement this year so that you don't basically have to hit the reset button this offseason. So on a scale of 1 to 10, should they be panicking, it's probably at a 6. I think Daniel Rue said if you're not looking at Pelicans or at playoffs, you put them at a 7. I think that's a little too high. I think it's just over 50%, 60% here. That's where I believe the Pelicans should feel on the panic level. Enough to fire Gentry after this season? Yeah, probably, if they really felt that way, if they don't start to show improvement on offense. But the defense seems like it's getting there. They've got kind of the right type of players here. Active guys with their hands up, contesting shots more. And the shots they do contest, they're contesting well. And they're making those guys miss. And that's why this defense isn't perfect. It's not top 10 in the league. But it's doing better. And right now, that's what this Pelicans team needed to see, or at least what I needed to see from them this season. What I've been saying, tangible improvement, and they're starting to show that, and tonight they showed it on offense. They weren't going to shoot this bad all year from three. Buddy Hield started to get it going. Other people will as well. They're going to get some offense back when Tyreke Evans comes back, regardless of how you feel he fits with this team. They're going to be significantly better once Drew Holiday comes back. Playoffs are out. But can they finish, you know, stringing together a bunch of wins? That I think they can do. And if they start to play better on offense as the season goes on and their defense is playing at this level, I'll take just this for right now. Put it about 15th in the league, exactly average. They've been bottom 5 the past couple of seasons. So if you can get up to 15th, that's a huge improvement. Then you're a player or two away from, yeah, not necessarily competing for a title, but from at least making the playoffs. And I think that's the Pelicans' plan here. I know a lot of people are calling for Dell Demps, and I think that's perfectly valid. I think the Pelicans could potentially let him go this offseason. I think if they don't make the playoffs, it's probably going to be more likely. But even when a new GM comes in, he doesn't need to hit the reset button. He doesn't need to blow this team up. There are some good pieces here. They are building something here. And frankly, I don't know if that's what we could have said before. So it's nice to see you have a lot of the fringe things. You need one more core guy. Not easy to get. It's going to take a lot of work, but the Pelicans might be able to do it. And if they can, they're going to be potentially a playoff team next year. That's something I'd be willing to, you know, kind of stake things on. So thank you guys for listening to Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Enjoy your weekend. We'll be recapping the Lakers game on Monday for you all. It should be a lot of fun. That's a fun team to watch now. Hopefully the Pelicans can, you know, get a winning streak going. All streaks start with one. The Pelicans got that one out of the way tonight, and we'll see if they can keep it going forward. So thank you guys for listening. Don't forget to like it, subscribe, rate, whatever it is. Just share it with a friend. If you turn one friend on to Locked On Pelicans, I would be happy. Don't forget to tweet at me, at Nola Jake. I love taking questions and talking on Twitter, and I'll certainly answer some on here again. So thank you guys for listening, and enjoy your weekend.